ready to turn right?
Yeah.
Just lost you, wagon! Wow!
Podcast Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here for Podcast Rock City. And with me this week, back from his triumphant West Coast vacation, Sunny Hollywood Pony.
What's up, everybody? I'm back. Yeah, Joey, whatever.
So you were on the West Coast and I jumped the gun on that?
I was on the West Coast. Yeah,
on the West Coast. Yeah. All right, cool. And right up there wearing his vintage 1986, I don't know if that's true or not, Kiss Asylum t-shirt, Joey Quesada.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Pooney, very, very nice to have you back. God, I came and spit it out of my mouth. I'm lying so bad. No, but seriously, I know your daughter got married. Congratulations on that. We really didn't miss you, but I did want to send the congratulations to your lovely, and I do mean lovely, daughter.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. I'm not just saying that. She looked beautiful in her dress.
It was a great wedding. I mean, you know, overall everything was good.
You approve of the man?
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Good. That's positive. All right. So there's a lot happening that's not really happening. There's a little bit of happening in Kiss world, but somebody brought something up to us that I talked about on the 20-minute Kiss Fix on Friday. And since I talked about it already, I'm going to mention it to you guys and see what you guys think. What's happening here? So let's go ahead and get to the news.
Podcast Rock City News.
So Kiss is off the road right now, and I guess their next show is October 1st or September, something like that. They September, and then they do nothing again until October. And Joey, how's it going? So let me tell you guys what was sent to us. Brian ATT, a listener and friend of the show, sent us an email. This is what it says. Hey, Howie Mandel was on Jericho podcast just now talking about hologram technology that he's involved with. And he mentioned that, quote, Kiss was just in the other day saying Lenny Kravitz wanted to go do a couple of shows with them, but he did not want to leave New York. So, you know, he could use this, end quote. All right, before I get started, I'm going to tell you guys, I think that if they beam Lenny Kravitz in via hologram for as an opening act is crappy. And Joey, you say?
Absolute garbage. No one wants to see Lenny Kravitz as a hologram. I'm not even positive I want to see Lenny Kravitz at all, but never mind as a hologram.
What? Okay, Sonny, I mean, what do you say?
Again, it's the final. We got 20 Kiss shows left. Jesus Christ, put Bruce Kulick on. What are you doing?
Okay, I get that. I get that. Sonny?
I love Lenny Kravitz. A hologram of a person who's living is a little weird. I could say
it's called
that.
Lazy. It's just lazy.
And Kravitz can't make it to New York like that. I don't understand.
He doesn't want to leave New York. No, see, that's the thing. It's for other
shows.
Yeah, they said he doesn't want to leave New York. So yeah. That's a problem for me. I'm like, but Kiss is doing their last few shows. You've literally said it's partially because of these guys that I even do what I was doing. And you can't get up, get on a plane, go out to wherever they are and open a show. I'm like, what the
heck? Yeah, but that I'm not putting that on Lenny. I'm putting that on Kiss saying, well, if you can't come, then forget it. You're not the guy.
Right. That's what they should say.
Yeah, that's it. It's
100%. I mean, give me Jesus Christ. And yeah, no one wants to leave their house anymore. Get off your ass. I mean, and go play. Where are you going to play? From a studio? And then, like you said, it'll broadcast it live via hologram. What's the point of that? It's people are really starting to lose their mind. Get up and go to work.
But get up and go to work.
It's on Kiss 100%. Lenny gets to say, I don't want to leave. Kiss gets to say, F you then.
Agreed.
That's it. Don't work it out.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. It was just such a strange thing for him to say. Kiss was here, or Kiss's people, I'm sure, you know, were here. Now, I have said publicly 10 times over the past, you know, 5 years that I don't have a problem with a hologram of like Kiss leaving the stage and a hologram of Eric Carr on the stage and maybe doing his animalized solo, you know, doesn't even have to be in makeup. I don't care. Just the hologram of that would kick ass so bad. And it would give such a good major nod/thumbs up, you know, to Eric Carr. I think that the true fans, the ones that have been around for a while. I mean, you could be a fan for only a year and know who Eric Carr is. So scratch that from the record. The fans who really love the band, not the tire kickers, that would give them something special. Sonny?
Yeah, but you don't have to do that via hologram. Like, you could do that on the screen and just put up a Lick It Up or Australia or Animalize Uncensored, or like you can clip in Eric however you want and have a live.
How good is this? I mean, I haven't really seen any of it yet. How good is the hologram technology? Is it like scary good?
It's cheesy, dude. Even the Dio stuff that I've seen, it's cheesy.
I don't know, man. I remember when I saw the Tupac stuff, I thought he was really there. And the what do you call it? The Freddie Mercury one that Queen is using is really, I thought, pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to see it. I mean, if it's done right, I think it would be really cool to put Eric up on stage somewhere and have him be part of the band for a few minutes. That'd be great, I think. But if not, like Sonny said, I would love them to do something like that, a tribute on the screen at least. But at this point, I don't think they're thinking of adding anything. I really don't.
Yeah. Sonny, you were going to say something?
They don't have to. They already sold all the tickets. I swear to God, the Kiss Army is looking for a miracle. Why would they do something that they don't have to do?
Well, all right. So I understand what you're saying. Here's where I'm going to go with this, okay? Because if they do something even small like that, it continues the illusion that they give a shit about anything that we want.
Well, I disagree. I think there's a lot of reasons why they still have to do something. And it's still all Joey has offspring. It's still all money related. If they're going to do some kind of, let's just assume they're going to do some kind of, whether it's a live stream of the MSG shows or a home release or streaming down the line, whatever it is of those two shows to commemorate the final shows, right? I do think by adding something different in those shows, it's going to create a buzz to get people to either stream it, pay for the streaming, pay for the DVD, pay for the download, whatever you want to call it, the Dubai package 2.0.
Nope.
I think if they add something to the mix, yeah, I think people will buy it. I don't think people buy it otherwise. Or they just stream it. They offer the streaming and everyone's going to buy it, probably me included, and with the hopes that something special happens. And then when nothing happens, then they could say, ha ha, we fooled you again. You still bought it.
Damn, if they said that, I'd sell my whole collection. All right.
I think they're saying it behind the scenes.
They are. I wouldn't actually get to hear. All right. So you guys can let me know or let us know what you think about that just by sending us an email to podcastrockcity1.
That's the number one.
@gmail.com. Podcastrockcity1. That's the number one. @gmail.com. Hello to everybody that's watching live. I don't want you to think that we're not paying attention. There's so many of you on here right now that the comments are going by. Boom, boom, boom. I'm going to do my best to try to keep up with you guys, but we love you for being here. Thank you. It's the place to be on Sunday night at 7 p.m. If you're a Kiss fan, talk, have some fun. I think that we should move on to the topic of the week because I, for one, am so excited about this one. I don't know. We're just going to have to wait and see if Sonny and Joey really are. Hold on. Let's get to the topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week.
Yes! So I said the other day that I wanted to do something a little different that we don't normally do on this show, and that is talk 80s Kiss. I can honestly say in 10 years, it has only been a topic like as far as like a record goes or something, a handful of times, because classic 70s Kiss is what a lot of people think about when you say Kiss, and a lot of people want to talk about that. But I thought that we could kind of encompass a lot of Kiss, including the original band in 1980, just by, you know, it just, I'm so mad right now. I just realized I should have grabbed a certain magazine to use this, to use for this show. And I slipped my mind, but that's okay. 80s Kiss. Let's go ahead and get started. When you, Sonny, when you think 80s Kiss, do you think makeup Kiss in 1980, or do you think non-makeup Kiss, or do you think all of it?
Oh, somebody says 80s Kiss, my mind goes straight to Crazy Nights. That's the first thing that pops into my head for some reason. Not the blue thong, get your mind out of the gutter.
That's just saying, Joey.
Right? And even though I came in technically an Animal Eyes and my first album was Asylum, for some reason, anybody says 80s Kiss, Lick It Up is not what's first in my head. It's always Crazy Nights, and I don't know why.
Joey?
Yeah, I even asked you on the pre-show, Joe, when you even told me the topic for today, I don't think when you say 80s Kiss, I don't think Unmasked through Hot in the Shade. I think non-makeup Kiss. That's what I think. When someone tells me 80s Kiss, to me, that's what 80s Kiss means. Now, if you're including Unmasked, The Elder, Killers, and Creatures in that 80s Kiss category, then there's no doubt in my mind, I'll take 80s Kiss over any Kiss ever. Easily. Even if you start at 1983, which is Lick It Up, I still might take 80s Kiss over 70s Kiss if you really press me. If you include 1980 through 1990, then I'm 100% taking 80s Kiss.
Yeah, when I think 80s Kiss, I just think of them without the makeup. For some reason, I have a hard time. I know when the records came out. So no emails telling me, hey, Kiss put records out in makeup. I know, in the 80s. However, when I think of Kiss in the 1980s, I think of 80s Kiss. I think of videos like Lick It Up and Heaven's on Fire and Crazy, Crazy Nights. No makeup. That's 80s Kiss to me. Even though there is 80s Kiss with makeup, but my mind immediately goes to like Asylum. So that's an interesting, thing that, you know, that we do. It's almost like if they're in makeup, it's a separate era. It is a separate era, right?
Let me really elaborate on what I said too. The reason why, to me, I'm going to always take 80s Kiss, especially like you said, Joe, if we include Unmasked through Hot in the Shade. Don't get me wrong. I love 70s Kiss. It's incredible, right? It's what made me fall in love with Kiss. But 70s Kiss, you know, you're talking the first Kiss album through Dynasty. It's basically all the same, right? It's that, even though, you know, even with the solo albums, you get a little bit of that variety. If you take Unmasked through Hot in the Shade, you're getting so many variations of different versions of Kiss. You're getting Unmasked, which is so poppy, right? Song oriented. You're getting The Elder, which is weird, but great in its own way, right, Sonny? Then you're getting Creatures of the Night, which is their really their heaviest record, not counting Carnival of Souls. And then you're getting all that pop 80s, you know, Crazy Nights, Asylum stuff. I think you absolutely, you have that, all that gamut of great music, different genres, different types of songs, where if you just take the body of work in the 70s, it's incredible, but there's not a lot of variety.
Yeah, and for me, and I don't think people think about this a lot. First of all, somebody says 80s Kiss to me, I'm not thinking Unmasked through Creatures at all, right? And honestly, right, I'm not really even thinking about Lick It Up. My mind immediately goes to Bruce Kulick, Eric Carr, Paul and Gene, which puts me 84 to 89, which is no different than 74 to 79. It's just for two of the same guys and two different guys, right? It's just where I came in.
Right.
So for me, the reason I usually pick 80s Kiss over 70s Kiss, and I love 70s Kiss, don't get me wrong, Kiss is one of my favorite bands of all time. The rest of the music that I listen to in my life doesn't sound anything like 70s Kiss, but it sounds a ton like 80s Kiss, including this guitar behind me. So that's just how it is. It's more Van Halen than it is really Kiss, if that makes sense.
What is your guitar? Is it a Striper guitar?
Yeah, that's Michael Sweet's B, yeah. Washburn, yeah.
Sweet, man. I'm going to have, the next time we get together, I'm going to give you a guitar lesson. Three chords. I want you to be able to come on the show and play La Bamba. Although as a F in there and a C and a G. You can do it, though. I have faith in you. Okay, so let's go ahead and get really into it as best we can. I'm going to tell you, I don't know. I did not look up all the dates to make sure that everything falls in order. I'm going to tell you where my brain goes first, 1980, and that's this magazine. September 1980, Peter Criss leaves Kiss 16 magazine. I remember getting this and thinking, I never even knew somebody would leave a band. It never occurred to me that that would happen. So the fact that Unmasked came out earlier in the year, I believe, because I got it like July, I believe, July 80 or maybe even August. That means they, according to that magazine, or maybe I don't think it came out late, but maybe did they hide the fact that Peter wasn't in the band that whole time?
Of course. I mean, that was a big thing for them. I mean, they really did not know if they could go on without one of those original members, right? They were so iconic at that time. And for, you know, for a lot of the crap Peter takes over the years, you got to understand, Beth is a monster hit that makes Kiss who they are today. I don't care what anyone says. Without Beth, Kiss might not have lasted. So Peter is just as big in popularity as Gene and Paul and Ace at that time. So when Peter leaves, they're hiding it. Of course they're hiding it.
Yeah. I mean, you also got to months.
You also got to think about, it's 1980. So if 16 has Eric Carr on that front cover, that's a 12-week lead time, right? So that's possible that Kiss hasn't told anybody yet.
Right.
And 16's already taken all the photos, and everything's going to get released on X date, and everything's getting planned to that.
Wow. Here's a cool question. John Patterson says, when does PRC believe Alive 3 should have been released? In the early 80s. No, if they would have stuck with it and done a live album every certain amount of records, I think it should have come out in the 80s. I love the fact that we got Animalize, and I prefer having the video. But if it would have been a record, I would have been happy. Sonny?
It should have been both. And Live Uncensored should be Alive 3, and we should have video, DVD, 8-track, Laserdisc, we should have it in everything.
Joe, you agree?
Oh my God, agree. Of course. I mean, Kiss Animalize Live Uncensored should have been a Live 3. I understand why they didn't do it, because they didn't need to call it a Live 3. The VHS format when it came out was more important than calling it Kiss Alive 3. You know what I mean? They were trying to distance themselves a little bit from Makeup Kiss. They were trying to create this new persona. So I think by calling it Alive 3, it would have looked too reminiscent of the past and stuff like that. I think that by them calling it Kiss Animalize Live Uncensored, even though we didn't get a album version, that was their version of putting out Kiss Alive 3 at the time.
Yeah.
And they've got the master tapes. This should be a release sometime in the next few years. There's no reason not to release it on vinyl and on.
But maybe just like technically they never re-released it on DVD officially. It might be a rights issue, Sonny. It might be they don't own the rights to that concert. Because again, obviously when Paul says it in the live show, we're filming this for an MTV concert. Woo! So who the hell knows who owns the rights to that at this point?
Yeah. Okay. So maybe that'll be a box set. We'll just keep our head up and hope that we'll get a box set out of this. All right. So let's start with the releases. Kiss, 1980, in the 80s, the first record that came out, Kiss Unmasked. We've talked about this even recently. You know, I always mention, let's go with this first. How do you feel about, I love the cover. Sonny, you love the cover or you hate the cover?
I got no problem with the cover. I think the cover's a good idea. You know, if you're being cartoony and you're for the kids, then it's a great cover. If you're trying to be serious, maybe it's not such a great cover, but I like it.
Joey?
I don't mind the color because obviously the cover, I'm a big comic book fan. I actually don't love the title. I wish it was a different title because Lick It Up would have been incredible if it was called Unmasked, right? I just wish they would have held back on that. I understand that it was you know, if anything, you didn't even like pretend that you were going to be unmasked in the album. If anything, make people buy it thinking, oh my God, Kiss is going to be unmasked, and they open it up, right? But there was no surprise. I don't know why they called it unmasked. It's a little dopey, but the album is incredible.
Does it surprise you? None of the books mentioned where the name came from.
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah, and if you read it, the comic on the front, you know, the guy's trying to get pictures of them without makeup, and then when they finally take off a mask, their faces are painted with the same stuff that the mask has.
I understand what they're going for, but it's really, I mean, I guess they didn't realize that they were ever going to take the makeup off because they would have held back on that title. You know what I mean? But if you're going to do that, you got to have a little suspense. Do the whole cover, right? And then don't put that little blurb, the last frame when they pull the masks off and they still have, it's their makeup. Do that on the inside. Make people buy your record. What are you doing? You missed the whole point. The whole point is to sell records and make people think you unmasked, right?
Right.
They're giving it away on the cover.
Yeah. Okay, so they do this record. I enjoy the record. I think that it's for me, it's one of their best records. And just because of where my tastes were at that point was a little, besides Kiss and a few other bands, I was more into pop. I was into pop music. And to be fair, when I heard it, I was only like 9. So I'm not sure that my brain said, well, this is completely different. And my brain was just like, well, this is Kiss. I could hear Paul. I could hear Gene. I could hear Ace. It didn't even occur to me at the time that there was no Peter. You know, I never went, oh, listen to that. Peter's using rototoms.
<It's> like, right.
No, never. Now I go, oh, I should have known right away. Joey, did you know immediately that Peter Criss was not on that record?
Again, I didn't buy Unmasked when it first came out. So I get into Kiss. I saw Kiss in 1979. Everyone knows the story on the Dynasty tour. I went back. My brother had Double Platinum and Love Gun and Alive 2. I went back and got all those records from him. He didn't own Unmasked when it came out. He was already out of Kiss at that time. That's why he gave me the records. My first new record that I buy is The Elder. So I didn't go back and hear Unmasked probably until, you know, 81, 82. And I'm not thinking, oh, my God, the drums sound different. It's Peter Criss. But obvious, you know, it's very obvious that it's not Peter Criss. And that's not a slight to Peter at all. Peter's incredible, but the drumming style is completely different, which is weird because if you really listen to Unmasked and you were to say, oh, this sounds like the drummer from Ace Frehley's solo record. No, it doesn't. The drumming style on that is complete. Anton is so versatile. The drumming on Ace's solo record is completely different than Unmasked and Dynasty. Ace is complete rock and roll drumming, most of it anyway. And then this stuff is way, way different. Like Torpedo Girl, the drumming on that, and Shandy. It's very, very different.
Right. Sonny?
I'm coming into Kiss in 84, so I don't even hear Unmasked to probably, could be 85, could be 86. Hell, it could be 87 before I even heard Unmasked. By that time, I'm full-time MTV kid. I'm into all kinds of pop. I'm getting into R&B. I'm getting into 50s doo-wop. So hearing the songs, I'm like, wow, these are awesome songs that are completely different than what they do nowadays. So I saw it as something that was marketable to a kid that loved pop because of everything that was on MTV. But think about it. I mean, we were getting Culture Club, Cameo, Bryan Adams, Cougar,
Duran Duran.
Then we're getting Priest, we're getting Rammstein, we're getting Cinderella, we're getting, like, it's getting peppered all over the place. If you're an MTV kid and you don't love pop, dude, you were really trying hard not to like pop.
Absolutely.
Because it was in front of you all the time.
All the time. That's why, like, people look at my CD and record collection, non-Kiss, they're always like, what the hell? And I'm like, I have Lady Gaga on vinyl. It's like, you got to look for that. You know what I mean? It's like, but good music is good music, and you got exposed to it via MTV. I think they're about to turn 40 or something like that. They had good 5 years of music, and we got to hear all of the best stuff in those 5 years. All right, so Unmasked gets out. They don't even tour the U.S. They play one show, right, at the Palladium. Everybody wants to see. The only footage you could possibly see is from, like, a news story coming across it. Even the recording of it is really hard to come across. That's not, like, from some guy's boombox sitting in the aisle. You know, it's like.
But when they toured overseas, like, that Sydney show is one of my favorite bootlegs ever. The Sydney 80 show is so good. To hear Eric on his first tour with Ace doing some of those Unmasked songs live, it's one of my favorite concerts ever.
No, I agree. Sonny?
Yeah, the hard part about the not touring, I was thinking about this the other day. If you think about what you were doing in the eighth grade, and what you were doing when you were a senior, you're not doing the same thing you were doing when you were in eighth grade. Well, if you think about what you were doing when you were 10 and what you were doing when you were 15, it's not the same. So if you got into Kiss in 74, by the time 80 comes around, no matter what age group you are, unless you're already in your 20s, you're not doing what you used to do. And you have no liquid income. So how are you going to go see anybody? Right? So they almost overstayed their welcome for the fan base, right? Because the fan base can't go with you the entire time. You will grow out of Kiss at some point. So some people, you know, they say, I got out of Kiss for a while and then I came back. Really what you're saying is you kind of grew out of it.
You know, it's always funny to me too. Like when Kiss says, you know, there's so many interviews and they talk about the Dynasty tour, that it wasn't a big success and that it became a circus and it became all the kids and all this parents and families going to these shows, which is how I got introduced to Kiss. If you really listen to musicians today, the biggest, and I don't know if it's just because it's when I got introduced to them, I feel like that Dynasty tour spanned and spawned more musicians, fan base, Kiss fans today than any other era. Those little kids, even though Paul craps on it that it was a circus and, you know, we didn't want little kids there at the time, the little kids from the Dynasty tour that went to see Kiss, I'm one of them, Steve Brown is one of them. I know so many people that saw Kiss for the first time on that tour, fellow musicians especially. I think that was the biggest influence they had, and they didn't even realize it. When 96 came back around, all those little kids that were there, those are us now. Those are the fans that really, I think, stayed obsessed with Kiss forever. Whereas I think a lot of the 70s, early 70s Kiss fans loved Kiss so much, but when they became bubblegummy and then took the makeup off and became 80s Kiss, they completely weren't fans anymore because they only loved that old era of Kiss where those late 70s, you know, that dynasty era kid that went to see them became a fan for life.
I agree.
I don't know why.
I agree. You know, it's really funny how many people, even Lee, who's not here with us tonight, you know, her first Kiss concert was 1979. All right, so let's go ahead and let's move on to the next record. So Kiss puts out Unmasked, and then they get together, and according to them, they said, what we've got to do is put out a real smart record, and that's where we get, this one. The Elder. Now, I hate the cover. I will tell you that I'm not going to pull it out, but I do have a 16 magazine where they even made an announcement about the change in look for this record, even a change in the look. And they, obviously, you know, at this point, when Kiss changes a member, it makes a headline in some magazines. When they change the way they look, they cut their hair, it makes a headline in a magazine. You know, it was on the front cover, the new Kiss look. You know, when it comes to this album cover, I appreciate it now. I understand it's classic, even if you're not a fan of the album, but I hate the album cover. If you had the band either on the cover or when you opened it up, I think it would have helped people get over that hump. They would have been looking at it all the time. Every time they put the record on, they would have looked at it. It would have, I'm not saying they would have enjoyed the record. I'm saying they would have gotten used to the look of Kiss. And Sonny says,
if your intention was to make all the kids go away and to put out an album that's as boring as the cover, home run.
Holy crap.
Home run.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I disagree. I don't disagree about the cover. I do think the cover was a complete miss, complete fail. I absolutely love The Elder. I think it's incredible. Again, that's what I love about Kiss. I love the diversity. I don't want to, as much as Love Gun probably is my favorite record, I don't want 30 albums of Love Gun. I want all these different albums. And I'm in the mood for The Elder today. I listen to The Elder. I'm in the mood for Crazy Nights today. I listen to Crazy Nights. I'm in the mood for the first Kiss record. I want that Kiss record. So the only thing I think happened with The Elder, I just think they missed the mark. I think it should have been more of a multimedia event that they were planning. I know it failed, but it failed because they didn't release it properly. They didn't go the extra mile. They paid so much for this record and to have this concept done. The concept had no concept. There was nothing to attach it to. You have to release something to go along. The title of your stupid album is called Music from the Elder. What's the Elder? People are like, what the hell is this from? Even if the movie was a bomb, or even if there was no movie, but there was imagery behind it, there was the full story. The album depicted them in this fantasy realm.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's with dragons or Morpheus and the bad guy and Mr. Blackwell on the cover, like a Frank Franzetta, you know, or a Ken Kelly type painting, but with a fantasy version of the Elder with Eric on the cover, I think it just creates a whole different image the second you put it on. And I'm not saying it was going to be a big success, but I'm saying it would have changed the perception of the record. That brown door with the hand, you immediately, that's your perception. And the opposite, when you pick up Destroyer, I look at Destroyer. I liked it as a kid before I even heard it. The opposite with The Elder. I think people picked up The Elder and said, I hate this before they listened to it.
But I'll tell you the argument that happened when all that those ideas popped up in 81. Somebody said Pink Floyd didn't have to do that. Why should we?
Well, you know the answer to that.
Yeah, you went Pink Floyd.
And the opposite too, but this and no, you know what? Nobody knows or cares what Pink Floyd looks like.
Yeah.
Nobody. Right. Think about Good it. Point. Nobody cares what Pink nobody I still don't know what the fuck they look like.
I only know what David Gilmour looks like.
And even him, barely.
Just barely.
You don't see him, you know what I mean? Kiss. You're selling records by the covers almost. In the record store, you see a knocker of a on a door with a hand. Again, anyone who's read my book, I tell the story. That was my first record that I ever bought. And I wasn't positive it was a Kiss record. I know it said Kiss on the cover, but I thought it was like this weird bootleg or something. And I purposely bought the cassette. Because I had my Walkman on me, I said, my God, I'm not sure if this is even Kiss. I have to buy it and listen to it quickly to see if it's like a real recording or not. If not, I was going to return it the same day. People weren't sure what they were getting.
Yeah. So now, all right. So during the week, I did post, thank you to Lee, who sent me the picture. So there was an Elder script written. It got sold at the what is it called, Butterfield's auction, is that what it was called? And it got bought, and somebody messaged me and said the person who owns it will not make copies. I don't blame them. I mean, whatever you paid for this thing, it's yours. And even though you own the script, I'm sure you don't own the copyright, you know.
No.
but let me ask you this, Joey, if let's say Gene said, hey, let's put the script out, as like a
book.
$2, like a book or something to download yeah. online, you'd buy it
in a second. Yes.
Just to read what their idea was, good or bad.
And listen, obviously the idea is basically Star Wars. It's Lord of the Rings. It's any fantasy movie ever. It's the boy fighting he's the last hope of mankind, and he's fighting the forces of evil. You know, it's the age old hero quest story, but it works. It's great. I like the concept. I think they could have done a really good job with it. And I would absolutely pay if they released the Elder script as a book. Why, if they own it, why wouldn't they just do that? A publisher would take it. You know, all of us idiots would buy it. Even Sonny would buy it. He doesn't even like The Elder. Sonny, you're a liar.
Sonny might not be able to read it just to see what the hell. Sonny, you wouldn't want to buy. Let's say it was $10, and you wouldn't want to buy it to go. I think you would be happy to come on here and go, if they'd have just made this stupid movie, then everything would have made sense. No, impossible. Sonny says?
Impossible. Because I don't like any of that fantasy bullshit. Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, Star Trek. I don't like any of that stuff. So I don't need it.
So I'll tell you guys that every time I think of what The Elder would have looked like, for some reason, and this may throw some of you guys way back, I always picture the look of that movie Lady Hawk.
Yes, me too. Oh, yeah. First of all, I love Lady Hawk. What a great
movie. Michelle Pfeiffer.
But you're so right. That's what they needed. Dragon Slayer, Lady Hawk, all those early 80s movies, Krull, those early 80s sci-fi fantasy movies, it would have been perfect. And again, I'm not saying it would have been a big hit. All I'm saying is, even if it's a B movie like Dragon Slayer in 81, I think Dragon Slayer came out, it would have at least tied it all together and gave it a purpose. Sonny, you don't like those movies, so of course you're not going to like it. But that was a big genre in the early 80s, especially with Dio, again, with the dragons and stuff. But that stuff was a big genre back then. There was a lot of those fantasy-type movies in the early 80s into the mid 80s. And I do think if you had something to go along with it, it would have just given it more purpose.
It's a big genre now. I'm just not into it.
Yeah, yeah, agreed.
My son likes all that shit, so I get it. I get it.
Yeah. Christopher Early says that you look like Judd Nelson in The Breakfast Club.
I can't. I don't know if that's an insult or a compliment.
Oh, it's got to be an insult because what, that's not good.
Bitch. Christopher.
He's
is
harsh,
that a compliment or an insult?
He's harsh.
Hold on. He's harsh. Better question. Karen, sweetheart. Is that an insult or a compliment?
Anyway, next question. All right, so the Elder comes out. The Elder goes away. No tour. The only thing we have from that is Fridays, right? Which, amazingly, we all like to watch just because it's the only time you ever get to see them without, you know, in that outfit.
We have Solid Gold.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes, Solid Gold as well. And as a matter of fact, I know that you guys might have it on one of your like TV compilation bootlegs, that whole Elder era thing. But you know that whole Solid Gold episode was Kiss related. Even the puppet Madam had like makeup on its face and shit like that. So, so do you think that they did those two shows before they had a tour scheduled and went, nobody's watching, let's go back in the studio?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think they tried what they could. They, you know, Solid Gold was very big back then. Whether they missed the mark or not is irrelevant. They were trying, you know, one episode of Solid Gold. If for some reason that was, if Kiss fans or just the general public saw them on Solid Gold and went, oh, my God, this is incredible, then what would have happened was the album sales spike, and then those album sales dictate whether they're going to tour or not. I think it just turned out that everything they were trying fell flat.
I think I agree.
What's interesting is Solid Gold would have been a great idea with the songs on Unmasked.
Yeah, you're right.
Good point.
Easy as It Seems and Tomorrow on Solid Gold, you probably sell a few albums.
Yep. I'm still surprised, even with World Without Heroes, whether you like The Elder or not, it's a great song. And I do like what the video that they played on Solid Gold. I think it's even Gene crying. I know people cringe with that. I think it works. I think it, even at the time, I remember loving it. I recorded it on a VHS and I loved it. I thought it was great. But again, anything that they did at that time, I was going to love. I'm just surprised looking back, the right people didn't see that too. I just think that wasn't going to spark what they needed it to spark.
I thought somebody else mentioned this kind of sort of too, but wouldn't it have been cool for them if they would have put a comic book in with the Elder that told the story of the Elder, or even if it was the inside and you could have fit five panels on there easy, you know, and told the whole story with the drawings, with, you know, Marvel could have gotten involved. And it doesn't make the record better, right, Sonny? It just explains things more.
Yeah, but nobody's going to buy it. They're not looking to open it to explain a story. Like, something's got to get you to buy it first. You don't sell any more records because of that. You just make the homers happier. That's it.
I'm definitely a homer.
Oh, yeah.
I would have bought one. Okay, so that one comes, that one goes, another one comes and goes. Here it is, right here. Creatures of the Night. This is the cover. Joey, you saw this in the record store when you were at the mall with your mother.
Lost my mind. And I don't know if we're purposely skipping over Killers, but...
No, I have Killers.
Okay.
But I just figured it, you know.
Yeah, you have time-wise. So, again, the Killers songs are killer, no pun intended. I love those Killers songs. But Creatures of the Night, when I saw this record, the opposite effect to me as the Elder, right? The Elder... It was like, oh, what the hell is that? I don't even know what this is. I see that album, even now when you held it up, it to me, it still looks incredible. When I see that cover, it means everything to me. My head explodes in Sam Goody, in my local mall, Kings Plaza Mall in Brooklyn. My head explodes when I see that cover for the first time.
Hey, Sonny, I got a comment here. It says, rumor is Kiss has been trying to release an Elder t-shirt in one of the biggest department store chains for years, but someone with a lot of power keeps putting a stop on it.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah. By the time I see Creatures, I didn't know Ace didn't play on it, blah, blah, blah. You know, now when I look at it, I still love the cover. I think the cover is awesome. I love all the music on it. I think it's great. It's kind of a shame that when I look at it now, I think about, God, there's basically 9 different guitar players on this damn thing. That is what it is. I guess can't do anything about that. But when you're discovering this music after Crazy Nights and all that stuff's coming out, I just see it as, oh, well, this was what Priest was doing before they did Turbo. This is Blackout before Savage Amusement. This is, right, I'm just comparing it to stuff that here's what I hear from these bands now, and this is what they used to be. Okay, right, I liked it, fine, and I didn't know all the ins and outs about who left and who didn't leave, and obviously I didn't give two shits about Peter at the time, so it's like, okay, well, this is interesting that they were this. Then later on, you find out that didn't sell. It's like, wow, that didn't sell. That's amazing, because it's a really good record.
Right. I apologize that I'm getting to questions kind of late, but here's one that's really interesting. Has anyone on PRC watched the Elder movie 21st Century trailer done by a British, avant-garde independent director? It's on YouTube. Nope, but I'm going to do it as soon as we get off here.
Me
and
too.
I'll put it on the Facebook page as well. Or if you could share it on the Facebook page, that would be even better. I don't have to track it down. Okay, so I love all the songs on this album. As a matter of fact, I would go ahead and say I don't think there's a single stinker on here. Sonny, you say?
It's not super perfect to me, but I do. It is one of my favorite albums.
Joey?
Absolutely no filler at all. I know some people still don't like "I Still Love You." I think it's one of the best songs on the record. I think it's incredible. Every song has its place on that record. I think it's as close to a perfect record as they released. Everything about it is great. The cover, the playing, it's just what a great, great record, you know, to follow that Elder record that people didn't like. It's perfect.
It really is. It really is a great record. Okay, so that comes and goes. They do a tour. But Ace is out, and he never played on the record despite what he says. He can't remember. He thinks he did. He's not sure. A whole load of people played on it. Now, I did not pull out the other magazine to show you guys that are watching, but there was a magazine about the Creatures tour that I have, and another 16 magazine, and it actually mentions in the magazine, and I've talked about it maybe a year ago, that Ace Frehley was taking some time off from the band and that they had Vinnie Vincent, who was the Wizard, and that Vinnie, and that apparently, like, they still haven't ruled out Ace coming back after he heals from his car accident.
Again, that's all to cover the record company. So again, for people who don't know, and I'm assuming a lot of people on here do know, Kiss recently just signed a new record contract, right? So they had to have 3 of the original members involved in that record contract moving forward. So they needed Ace to be part of this record more than anything. That's why when you hear stories of Paul going to Ace's house and begging him to stay in the band, and Paul, Ace doing the promo Creatures of the Night promo tour with them in Europe, and all this media and press and the album cover, that's all to make sure they did not lose their record contract. And even more importantly, their record advances from the new record. They had to have on the contract that 3 original members of Kiss were involved still with Kiss. And this was all a cover up for that.
Right. So that tour goes. It's not a huge success. It, as a matter of fact, I'm not even sure they would call it a success. Right, guys?
Oh, the Creatures tour was a complete flop, of course. But again, it's one of those times in history that, you know, I hate when Paul says frog boy and turtle
man,
whatever the hell he says. It has nothing to do with Vinny and Eric's makeup personas, their failure. Kiss is dead in the United States at this time, right? So they release Unmasked, it's a flop. They release The Elder, it's a flop. Van Halen's out. AC/DC's out. Motley Crue is out now. Everything is changing. It doesn't matter if Turtle Boy's there, Frogman, Peter, Ace. They go back to all the original members when Creatures comes out and the tour happens. None of that is helping Kiss at this time. So the easy excuse, you know, in hindsight for Paul is to say, well, the makeup, the new characters didn't work. Look at the tour. It failed. Obviously, the new characters didn't work. It has nothing to do with the new characters. If Ace is on that tour and Peter's on that tour flops just as bad as it did.
And you don't have Creatures of the Night either.
No, and you don't even have the great record then, right? So none of that happened. It has nothing to do with the new personas. If anything, to me, who was a fan at the time, that reinvigorates my fandom. I loved, not only do I love Eric's makeup on Creatures, when I'm hearing that there's a new character and it's Vinny and I finally find a picture of him in a magazine, I'm excited. I love the idea of these new characters.
Yeah, and it's interesting because a lot of people don't talk about when they talk about Kiss kind of flopping around at this point in time. They forget the only band that I can really, there's two bands that I can name that make good from the 70s into the 80s and prosper, and that's really Van Halen and AC/DC. The same thing that happened to Kiss happened to Aerosmith. The same thing happened to the Stones. The same thing happened to Black Sabbath. The same thing would have happened to Zeppelin if they were still around. It was already happening to Zeppelin. Nobody wants to admit it, right? That it happened to a lot of bands, and that's because it's hard to go from decade to decade to decade and go continue to, if you're not pop, continue to do what you were doing and not really change and somehow change and keep your own fans. That's the hard part, right? How do you change but then keep everybody you got? That's very, very difficult.
Yeah. One of the things, if you think about, like, if you take a franchise that was able to grow with their to grow with the people that started with them, if you take something like a Harry Potter, when you get that first book, it's written, it's a teeny bit dark, a teeny bit, but it's for kids. And as those books come out, the author realizes that these kids are getting older and the story gets darker and darker and more grown, right? Becomes a teenage book, becomes an adult book. Kiss went backwards.
Agreed. Yeah, that's a great way to put it, Joe.
They went backwards. Instead of growing, look, here's the thing about AC/DC. What worked for them, they never changed. They never changed. Bon Scott died. They got a guy that could sing Bon Scott and sing him his own thing, but they still put out AC/DC music. Do you think, okay, let's go on to the next album, then I'll ask that question. Lick It Up comes out. MTV slaps him in the face and says, oh, yeah, you're going to take your makeup off. We'll do it in the middle of the night when nobody's watching. And
again, that's just more of it's proof that Kiss is dead at this point. It has nothing to do with the new characters. Nobody cares enough. If this, think about this. If this was 1979 and there was something like MTV, or even if there wasn't, Kiss said, we're going to unmask live on NBC tonight. It would be the biggest story in the country at that time.
Oh, the Grammys would have wanted it.
It would have been done it
prime time.
Oh, I'm just saying, imagine they're sitting there with Snyder. Tom Snyder. And they just grab these towels and just start wiping their faces off.
Imagine if they say they're going to do it on the Hulk or on the A-Team.
Yes.
Or on Wonder Woman. Dude, that would have been the most watched show of the year.
Yep.
Yeah. Instead, they went to MTV because that's where they really wanted to be. But however, Kiss did know that MTV was the future, and it was the future. And it even paid off for Kiss a bit, I would say. You know, they didn't get in the rotation like a Duran Duran or a Prince or even a Guns N' Roses, but on shows like the MTV Countdown, where people called in and voted, Kiss was always in there. I always knew that I could see two videos, Home Sweet Home at number one and whatever Kiss video was out at the time. And it always made its way in. And so that's kind of like a testimony to what Kiss's music was like. But at the time when Lick It Up came out, that was not available. And I remember I didn't even see the Lick It Up video until maybe a year later. And it was probably late at night. Joey, when you saw Kiss without their makeup, what'd you think?
Again, so, you know, I'm already into all the 80s music now, right? Rad and all this other stuff coming out. So I love it. I couldn't believe that they were doing it. I remember my friend at school was like, oh my God, did you see the new Kiss record? They have their makeup's off. I'm like, what? Push. And same thing. I run to my mall and I have to see it immediately. I was disappointed when I saw the cover, just this plain white cover and these four guys standing there. I just thought it was going to be a bigger hoopla. It wasn't. But listen, I know it's easy to say now, it 100% saves Kiss. The old adage, who saved Kiss, Vinny, blah, blah, blah. Lick It Up. The song and taking the makeup off saves Kiss.
Whoever said take the makeup off.
Yeah, of course. I mean, Kiss. That song, the video, and the acceptance by the general public of this band Kiss, now they look like everyone else, which is what they wanted to do and what became accepted. It makes Kiss have the longevity through the 80s. And were they the biggest band in the 80s? Of course not, but they still had platinum records all through the 80s. Tours did very well in the 80s. Lick It Up didn't, but once Heaven's on Fire hits and that follows Lick It Up and Heaven's on Fire, that makes Kiss who they are. Without those two songs, they're dead in the water.
Sonny?
Yeah, I'm starting to believe Paul's voice saved Kiss. Because if he doesn't have that voice in the 80s, it's over.
Yeah.
Because nobody's interested. Because the vocalists that are getting all the attention are screamers, especially when it gets to the mid to late 80s. And if you can't hang with those guys, you're screwed.
Yeah.
And, man, Paul not only hung with those guys, he was better than most of those guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I will tell you, I love the album Slippery When Wet, but John Bon Jovi cannot sing what Paul Stanley sings.
Oh, hell no.
But Paul Stanley could sing what John Bon Jovi did.
Absolutely.
Yes, but listen, I'm a big Bon Jovi fan too. Slippery When Wet is a masterpiece of pop, pop music.
No, yes.
That changes everything again. That makes it even more accessible, the whole genre. Once Slippery When Wet comes out, now it's no longer metal fans over here and this over here. Hair metal music is the same as watching Madonna, same as watching everything else, rap. It all becomes one because of Slippery When Wet, I think.
Absolutely. Okay, so Lick It Up comes out. I think it's a great album. The music, I give, 4 out of 5 stars. Maybe 4.5. I love the music. It's so different than if you go back to 1974, 1975. It's just so different. It actually shows how capable Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons were at growing into a more modern style of music compared to Ace and Peter. Ace and Peter, as much as I love them, could not have hung on Lick It Up. It would have been a completely different record. We would have never got that shredder thing. That might have killed them yet again. So the music and Paul's vocals, I think, really helped out. Vinny leaves the band. Finger quotes. Vinny leaves the band. They don't have anybody to take his place. They get this guy, Mark St. John. And we get Animalized. This is another really good record. I can honestly say I don't put it on as much as I should, but that might be a good thing So every time I do put it on, I'm like, damn, this is a good record. Joey, how often would you say you listen to Animalize?
Pretty often. I don't love some of the last few tracks on the record, like Murder in High Heels and Lonely as a Hunter, stuff like that. But Animalize, I do think, is a very underrated record. People crap on Animalize. I've Had Enough, Into the Fire is absolutely incredible. Get All You Can Take, Thrills in the Night. There's so many sleepers on Animalize that don't get the credit it deserves. And I'll tell you another one that's a sleeper that I know people laugh at the one line. Burn, Bitch, Burn has one of the great Kiss guitar riffs. Listen to that riff in the beginning. It's awesome.
Sonny?
I don't listen to the full album almost ever, but all the Paul songs make almost every one of my Spotify type playlists. I love all the Paul songs on that album.
Me too.
Cool. The tour goes on. We get Animalized Live Uncensored, which we have done entire shows on. It came out on VHS. This is beta, actually.
Damn, beta. Wow.
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus.
Wow. I forgot there was
That's smaller. Awesome.
Yeah.
So it comes out. Every one of us goes to the Blockbuster or wherever it is. I'm not even sure I had a Blockbuster
yet. No way.
I don't think so. But wherever I went, I had a friend. His name was Wayne. And we would rent this every weekend. It was always there. And we were always able to rent. Amazingly, there was always only one copy. That's it. One copy. But it was always there when we wanted it. And we would put it on and watch it. And we loved it. We loved it. It was so great. We have done shows on just this. Somebody could write a thesis on how important this was to not only Kiss, but I think to rock bands of the 80s to have MTV concerts. Sonny?
I agree with you. I rented it wherever you could rent VHS. I had a friend that had the double, so I made a bootleg copy of my own.
Nice.
Wore that thing out, and once I could actually afford to buy one in 86-87, I bought one. And then I think I found one for like $3.95 at the local Rasputin's on used, and I bought another one. I think I have three or four copies in here somewhere. That one in exposed. And that original bootleg, technically a bootleg, I guess, that I made. I don't know where the hell that is, but I wore the hell out of that.
It's awesome. I need to buy a VHS just so I can watch it. Just hear that sound. If you put the tape in, I'd be so worried it would get eaten. And Joey, obviously, we talked about this already with you.
It literally changed my life. This VHS changed my life. It was the first time that I had something on video that I could watch of Kiss over and over and over again.
And I didn't,
80, whatever it comes out, 85, I guess. I don't have MTV where I grew up in Brooklyn yet. There's no cable where I am yet. So I don't have MTV. There's no other Kiss videos available. So I have nothing video of Kiss at all at this time. So when this comes out, I swear to God, I know people think I'm crazy. I watched it minimum every single day for at least 3 years straight. Minimum.
Holy crap. Yeah.
Every day I got home from school, I watched it every single day. I'd play to it. I had my kit set up near the TV, awesome. And I played the whole entire set over and over and over again.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. So Kiss now is no makeup. They have no makeup. They're on tour. These shows are doing very well. The album sells a million. I think Lick It Up sold a million. So at least. So they're doing pretty well. And then this comes out. I had just moved to Georgia. I had just moved here. My mom knew that I was miserable and I did not want to leave where I was from. And my mom knew I was miserable, and Kiss was going to be here in Atlanta on New Year's Eve. She got me tickets to go with my cousin, and she took me to see them. And I remember it was one of the most spectacular nights just because I got to hear stuff off of this record. Plus, they waited till midnight to actually be done. They did extra stuff. So, but now we're going to talk about this record. And I know that you guys are watching or listening and thinking, hey, man, this show's over an hour. We got two records to go. We got to get this in. So, Asylum. I hate the cover. I'm not a big fan of it. This was the first time they ever did the makeup where they put green lips on Eric Carr and blue on Bruce Kulick. I didn't even think that's going to cause a problem, but apparently it bothered some people. They were like, you're giving Peter's color, the green and the blue, to Bruce and Eric. Did you even notice, Sonny?
I didn't know, because I didn't know the difference. And how is green Peter's color? Like, okay, whatever. It right. represents him, but it's not his color. I blame that whole cover and the entire look for Asylum on Home Sweet Home and Round and Round. Because if it wasn't for those two goddamn videos, Kiss wouldn't have been dressed like that, right? And I get it. The whole neon and all that was getting hot, but not to the level that Kiss took it to. It's my first tour. It's my first album. I absolutely love it. Yes, Gene looks like B. Arthur. Okay, whatever. There's a lot of people that looked that bad then. I still thought Paul looked pretty good, and I still thought Eric and Bruce looked pretty good. Really, if it wasn't for Gene, I don't think they would get as much shit, because I thought the other 33 looked all right.
Right.
I couldn't agree more. I think of it. Listen, everyone's doing it this at the time. Look at Ozzy's videos back then. Ozzy's for Shot in the Dark and Lightning Strikes. He's wearing the same stuff. The back of the album is not. Show that again, Joe. The back of the album doesn't have them all in the glam. Little bit, but not to the extent that they go, you know, 6 months later for the tour.
If they'd have wore these outfits, they'd have looked fine.
But again,
yeah, that's Miami Vice right there, right?
But were you guys saying that at the time? So, Sonny, I remember I literally slept out at the Meadowlands in New Jersey overnight to get tickets. No idea how to get tickets anyway. There was no online or anything. So I literally slept at the front door of the Meadowlands to get tickets. And I still wound up getting nosebleed seats, even though I was first online. But I wasn't thinking at the time, wow, they look, why they so glammed up and why this and why that. Completely love the record. I didn't appreciate Gene's songs as much as I do now. I think all the Gene songs are very, very strong on this record. Secretly Cruel, especially, probably. But I just loved Paul's voice in the 80s. So I was so into Paul's songs that I didn't give Gene's songs a chance. Now, looking back, I know people say Gene checked out. I love Gene's songs on all the 80s records now that you really listen to them. Yeah, but Gene, you're right, Sonny. You hit it right on the head. Gene is the issue. Gene is, you know, he's not a handsome man. He's a little bit of a very masculine looking man, where everyone else at the time is trying to look more effeminate. They're trying to look like Poisons and all these other bands. So Bruce, Eric, and Paul especially pull it off perfectly. Gene just never looks comfortable because he's built more like a linebacker too. So, but the album is incredible. I think it's, you know, I probably like Crazy Nights better, but Asylum is an incredible record.
Do you guys remember the stage?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
With
I was
big,
there.
Giant Kiss logo.
Yes. Yeah. Loved it. When I saw that logo for the first time, I was like, just couldn't believe it.
Cool. Sonny. So you agree that it was Gene?
Yeah, and I think, you know, we're rewriting history here. When you're living it, like I'm 17 when all this is happening. I'm wearing the same shit.
Of course.
Your girlfriends are wearing the same shit. Your friends are all wearing the same. It's like saying leg warmers are stupid. Everybody had leg warmers
on.
Right? So
sure, sure.
When you look back at it, yeah. What they were doing in 74 versus what they were doing in 86. Yeah, that's different. If they come out and this is their first album, nobody would have thought any different that they look like what they look like. they would take the same shit Poison took at in 86 too. And Poison looked like that. Think about it. That's all we think about with Poison. Poison looked like that for about 3 seconds.
True.
Yeah, the next album, Poison, doesn't look like that. It's only that first record. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, so Asylum comes out. The tour is a success. Yeah. And Black and Blue opened for them on when I saw them. That goes away. The next thing comes out is this. Kiss Exposed. Kiss Exposed was one of the smartest things they ever did. It was so popular. There was a magazine talking about the video.
It was incredible. It really, and it's so ahead of its time. It's not, first of all, it's the first thing that you get, again, for me too, especially, I get to see 70s Kiss as much as I want on video. There's no, you know, there's no YouTube. You got to understand, there's nothing out at this time. 1986, I think, when this comes out, or 80s, early 87, there's no 70s Kiss footage available anywhere. So when this comes out, even looking back, you know, I'm not talking about the style of what they did, to have the clips of the 70s footage, that little montage starting with the Winterland, going into Cobo Hall, Gene Spitting Blood, and Ace's solo, and then ends with the Sydney clip. I played that over and over. It got to be over 1,000 times. Just rewind it. Play it again. Rewind it. Play it again. Rewind it. Play it again. Just to see that at the time was incredible. And now even looking back, the way they did it with like this kind of over-the-top comedy and like scripted, ahead of its time, I think it was masterfully done. Masterfully.
I mean, it was Spinal Tap.
But yes, but nobody else had done something like this. Yes, Spinal Tap was a movie, but bands weren't doing stuff like this.
Right.
Motley Crue, I think, had like a home video right before this, but this was taken to a whole new level.
Yeah. I can tell you, I remember getting my buddy Doug got it, and we watched it at his house, and I remember seeing boobs.
Oh yeah,
Christine's boobs, who's probably 80 years old now. Not really, she's probably at least 65.
You see the creepy camera guy's hand doing this?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh my god, that's so. What about Paul jumping into the pool after the cameraman? Doesn't he like bump into the camera or something like that? So good, so good. But look, if they would have continued to take themselves like that.
Yes.
I think, you know, okay. So, Asylum is a decent hit. Its videos are on MTV. Exposed comes out. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember this. They re-released Rock and Roll All Night with a video compilation from Exposed. That's how much they pushed that. That's how much they pushed that VHS release. They get done with that. All the videos are on there. They're all great. And they get off the road. We get crazy nights. Or crazy nights. We get crazy nights. How does it go? It goes like this.
Love this record. The only part to me about this record that hurts the record is the production. I think someone put something up here before. God, if Mutt Lange, someone like that produces this record, it's way bigger than it was. The production on this record really hurts it, but I love it. This is, you know, this is 80s Kiss at its 80s-ish, right? The biggest point of, you know, that poppy, synthy, Reason to Live, Turn on the Night. I love My Way on this record. The song Crazy Nights, even though it's so cheesy, Bang Bang You. I love this stuff. I love everything on this record.
Yeah, it's really great. Sonny, what do you think?
That record's perfect. And I'm telling you that there's people that have sent me the synth lowered, the guitars heavier in the mix. I've heard, you know, different remasters, like, you know, people kind of fake remastering it, whatever. I always go back to the original. I don't have a problem with the production because a lot of the music I listen to had that production. When you throw these songs in Audacity, it's like just a block. There's like no, there's nothing to it. And you, if you want to actually listen to it well, you have to actually take it up, amplify it in Audacity so you can actually kind of hear it a little bit better. But all the albums that, well, except for, of course, Mutt, but, you know, we didn't have six years to do this album either. All those albums between, like, what, 86 and 89, Slip of the Tongue, even the Whitesnake 87 album, it's all got that kind of tint of it because the synth was getting heavier. I'm fine with it, but I love Hall & Oates, right? So I'm used to it. Whatever.
Me too.
Yeah.
But this album just feels it doesn't have as what you're the stuff you're comparing it to. I think I would have liked it better having more of that sound. This just sounds a little thin to me.
Like In God We Trust. In God We Trust is a thin record.
Yeah, it's more along the lines of that. You're right. Yeah. It just has a thin, not a lot of bass. The guitar sound is very trebly. It's just not a well-produced record.
Now the look, the Kiss look on the back gets a little bit better for Gene.
Love
and a little bit worse for Paul.
Love it. I wish this was what Asylum was, because this was the Bon Jovi type look that they were kind of going after.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish it was there at 85 because I love that look. I think it's great.
I agree. I think the Crazy Nights look was great. Even Gene, I think Gene looks great on Crazy Nights. He's back in leather. He's still glammy, but he's more a little bit meaner looking with the black leather. He didn't need the rouge on his face and the lipstick and the sequins. The black leather on Gene with a little bit glam look, it works for him.
Yeah, and then the Paul blue thong. That is, first of all, that is a hairy dude. And I'm looking at this now and I'm realizing he has to dye his chest hair now. Anyway,
oh,
all right.
God Almighty.
So, okay. So, all right. So that Kiss is kind of, they've decided to get away from glam, the glam look. They've gone in with this more of a, you know, this is more like a club look. And I don't mean club like, I mean like they're going to a club, to meet girls or hang out or dance or shake their wazoo or whatever they do.
How did Paul skirt end up, this all sounds bad. How did Paul somehow stay away from Playgirl? Because he's fit for Playgirl. I get it. He's a little bit older when Crazy Nights comes out, but the look has got Playgirl written all over it.
Yeah.
Very
Sonny's
true.
Like, that's the one magazine I would have bought.
he wouldn't buy the Elder Script book, but he would have bought that.
Yeah. That's so awful. Okay, wait. So just before we go, Crazy Nights tour book was huge. And I think they did this because of how big the logo was. Everything was big. And if the layout in it, like the pictures.
Everybody looks so good.
Yeah.
That's such a great tour book.
It is. And, everybody looks comfortable. Everybody looks happy. And I don't mean happy like they're smiling, but you can tell they look more comfortable in what they're wearing, especially Gene. Now, let me get to that one real quick. This is, okay, so this is Gene Simmons in the 80s.
Yeah. And that's, what's interesting, and nobody ever mentions it, right? By the time Love Gun comes, they're at like the peak of what they look like, what they sound like, how comfortable they are. Everybody's doing stuff. Well, guess what? That's 87, right at the peak of.
Yeah.
They're in the middle of their run in the 80s, and everybody's feeling the same way 10 years later.
So that album comes and goes, and it's very positive for them. And then quite possibly their second worst album cover, according to Joe. Here we go. Hot in the Shade comes out, a good record with a lousy cover. Joey?
Agreed. It's so funny because the stage was so incredible with the Sphinx. but it doesn't work for the cover of the record.
Leon.
It just doesn't. And it's a shame. It's almost as if, like, if you would have, I know they couldn't have done this, but let's just say you have a picture of the stage set from Hot in the Shade with Leon and them on stage. That's a great cover. But just having the Sphinx like that doesn't work.
Okay, so you put the back picture on the cover, and on the back you have the Leon's mouth open with them standing in the mouth with the lasers all surrounding them.
Better.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Or even just some, I mean, I know there's no real Photoshop then, but you could make that cover a little more interesting. You can have a Sphinx, but incorporate Kiss on the cover as well. You don't need to just have one or the other.
Yeah. Sonny?
That back picture on that album is one of the best non-makeup pictures there are. That should have been on the front somehow. Right? Or I'm with Joey. Have them standing on the Sphinx, very similar to the poster that we saw in Animalize. I guess very similar to Motorhead Ace of Spades.
Right. It doesn't have to look like it's really them on the Sphinx. It could, you yeah. can have it just that cool photo superimposed with the Sphinx in the background. It works. Yeah. It makes sense.
No, I agree. The tour I went, I went with a girlfriend. We had like 16th row. I've said this on the show. My friend Mikayla, who did not like Kiss at all, was in the front row. I literally saw her up there. I was pissed off that she had front row. She got them because she worked at the local record bar. And then I saw her take a pic off of Paul Stanley's tongue. I personally, as much crap as I have, would have never, well, I would have never had the opportunity to do it, but if I would have never been like, sorry, that's not my thing. But I saw her do that and I was like, son of a gun. And I even thought, she knows how big of a Kiss fan I am. I'm going to get that pick. No, she didn't even really like him.
I'm assuming Paul is professional enough to make sure he doesn't have his mouth open by people who got big, fat, stubby fingers.
It's like a sausage. Because, you like know, he would have been like...
the like episode, that episode of Seinfeld with man hands. I guess he
yeah,
chose.
That's exactly it.
I've never seen that show. I
but
love
what
if,
I mean, so again, it goes back to starting with Lick It Up. The strength of the single on the record creates everything, especially at this time frame in the music industry. With the strength, Hide Your Heart was a semi-success, but Forever is such a big hit for them, MTV-wise, radio-wise. It propels the whole tour. It makes the whole entire tour what it becomes. Without Forever... I know everyone talks about how great the set list was for Hot in the Shade and all that stuff. That's not why the tour does so well. The package, you have Winger and Slaughter, who are also getting really hot at this time. And then you have the single Forever, which makes Kiss an entity again in the music industry. It makes this whole tour what it is.
I feel like I saw Danger, Danger and Slaughter together, actually.
I think they had mixed. When I saw the two or three that I saw was Winger and Slaughter.
Yeah. I saw Winger Slaughter.
I might be wrong though, but okay. So, but that record, let's talk about the show, man. That is quite possibly the best non-makeup set list for a tour ever.
Agree. They're embracing the past finally. Right, and they bring that back into the fold. You can tell that they're ready to embrace the past as Exposed is coming out because you're starting to see some of that stuff. But by the time Hot in the Shade's back, I mean, come on. It opened with I Story of Love. I talk about blow my head away, right? I'm going to go, holy cow, look at that. Dude, where's that song been?
And God, did it sound good with 80s Paul singing I Story of Love. Oh, my God. I mean, again... People can make fun of Paul all they want now with the way his voice sounds at, you know, in his mid-70s. Paul is untouchable during these years. He's incredible.
Absolutely. All right. So that was our, I mean, and that's just an hour and a half of talking about the 80s, cramming it all in there. We could talk, this could be a 5-part series. I've enjoyed listening to the two of you talk about this and get, I know that it just, you know, last week, Joey was saying it's quite possibly, I love the music of the 80s more than I love it of the 70s, which is a huge statement. That's a huge statement for not necessarily for Sonny. He came into the band when that, you know, was going on, but for Joey to say it, I'm opposite. I love Kiss 80s music, but I love the 70s music. You guys out there can let us know what you think. PodcastRockCity1, that's the number one, at gmail.com. Now, before we go, I want to make sure you guys remember, I do a show on Wednesday night at 10:10 p.m. It's called Your 20-Minute Kiss Fix. So you have our show right now. In the middle of the week, I'm going to do a short show with you guys live here on YouTube and Facebook. There's a ton of you guys in the room right now watching along. Come hang out. I will have a topic, and we'll just talk about it for 20 minutes and get it out of our system late at night. It'll be a lot of fun, and then I'll do it again on Friday, same time, same bat channel. And I've been getting a lot of good emails and comments about the 20-Minute Kiss Fix. And I appreciate that. I'll keep doing them. They're fun, and they give me something to do, and I get to hang out with you guys. Sonny, do you have anything to add?
No, thanks for listening. And, man, 80s Kiss. There's more of it to love. I love it.
Joey.
Again, yeah, I'll wave the 80s Kiss flag till I die. I love it so much. If you put a gun to my head, I'll take 80s Kiss over 70s Kiss if I really have to. But for me, lots of fun stuff coming up for me. I will be playing with Quarantine again coming soon. Soon to be announced. I'll let you guys know when it is. I am technically an official member of Quarantine now. Kent is, you know, still a drummer. I'm going to be doing some shows with Kent, some shows without Kent. So catch me with Quarantine coming soon. I'll let you guys know when that date is. But also, I got a new episode of my podcast, Top 5 with Joey Quesada, just dropped today. It's the best albums of 1985, which was surprisingly not a great year. I thought it was going to be super strong. It was a little weaker than I thought. Check it out.
I will listen to that this week. I just listened to the Michael Jackson episode, and I thought I enjoyed it very much. You guys out there, thanks again for hanging out with us, man. There's a ton of you guys here. This is the place for you guys to come and hang out with us every week. We're going to be your Kiss home. This podcast, right? If you haven't subscribed. This is your home. Of course, you're going to watch other shows. Of course, you're going to listen to other shows. But when you think of home, think of Podcast Rock City and think of everybody else as like a stepkid.
I like it.
I'm just kidding. Tom and Zeus, I don't know if I could handle them being my stepkids.
Who the hell is that?
Oh, whatever.
They're my boys.
I love those guys.
They are not powerful and attractive men, if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, and by the way, I wanted to announce that this week I am going to put a plaque up there because I am personally putting Joey Quesada in the Podcast Rock City Hall of Fame, baby.
I'll take it, Joe.
You know. Ooh, I'm just letting everybody know. You know what I'm going to say. We love podcasts, and we love Kiss podcasts, most of them anyway. And you're going to hear all the commercials for the ones that we love right after this in 3, 2, 1, peace.
Thank you, and goodbye.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Have you heard of the Click Tees shop yet? These t-shirts reach into the deepest nostalgia of the hottest band in the world with designs like the Demon's first stage shirt, the Rock Skull, the Spaceman's very first stage shirt, Eagle Wings, the Catman's Cadillac Michigan jacket, the Black Cat, the Phantom of the Park Talisman, and a wide array of Eric Carr tees. With over 30 killer designs, these t-shirts dive so deep, they're like opening a private vault of rare classic material. Click Tees is not exactly all tees. They also have products like mugs, hats, necklaces, pillows, socks, stickers, and guitar picks. Podcast Rock City is happy to announce that we have partnered with Click Tee Shop, and we are now selling our merchandise there too. Buy some merchandise and let everyone know you're a fan of our show. Go to clickteeshop.com, that's click with a K, to check out all the great stuff to choose from.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growinguprock.com.
That's growinguprock.com. GROWINUP ROCK.com.
Growing up rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The Dummy Room is a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.
No gratitude need be voiced. Your mind speaks to us.